And tonight we're going to start in the Ephesian letter. And the fourth chapter. And because we've all travelled today, and some of us have only just got up from eating our tea, supper, or what it was, and because we've got a whole week ahead of us, I'll promise to not to speak as long as I usually do. That is somewhere about 2 hours. So if we can just content ourselves with a little measure tonight, may the Lord lead us into the truth. If not, I should be a bit upset with you if you get upset after an hour, because I won't think it was worth leaving my last sort of meetings for. You see, where they said, it's coffee time. Oh, go to the kitchen, tell them we don't want coffee. We're going to keep on and on and on and on and on. And it just went on and on and on. And then when I thought it was finished, half the people came out to the front and wanted to stay there another half an hour in the presence of the Lord. And that's the way it should be. At least I think so. And after all, that's what these conferences are for, aren't they? They're for us to get together to enjoy the things we can't normally enjoy. And that is the Lord, in the extent that we can enjoy him in a big crowd, the love of one another, the sort of ministerial level down here, and hours that we can set aside to the Lord speaking to us through his instruments and from the book and blessing us and going on and on and on and on and on. Isn't it wonderful? Forever beginning what never shall end, we say. And it's a marvelous thing. All right, let's make a beginning then, shall we? And in the fourth chapter of the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, I want to read verse 11. And he, that is the risen and ascended Lord, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. If I put which is in there, I'm not adding to Bible, I'm making the sense, which is the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what the ministry is. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of the body, that is itself, in love. And beloved, I believe that this is precisely what God wants to do for us during these days together. That when we part, as part we shall, because part we must, unless the Lord comes and catches us all up together to meet him in the clouds, but when we go back to our respective places, we shall go back able to do exactly what God wants us to do and be exactly what God wants us to be. I'd like you to look at that verse again, that last verse that we read together. I want to pick out some words. Are you looking closely now? In verse 16, I want to take 3, 4, and 5 of the words there, and I want to take lower down another 5 words, and here they are: the whole body, now let your eye run down the verse, maketh increase of the body. Do you see that in your book? The whole body maketh increase of the body. Yeah. Go on, let it sink in. The whole body maketh increase of the body. The whole body. And the whole body is given over to making increase of the body. Praise God. And the purpose of our coming together this week is just precisely that. Now let that sink right in. Not only just while we're here, beloved, but you are to catch this great vision and revelation of Jesus Christ. For the body and Christ are one. And here, if I may say so, suffer me to say this, is your opportunity to contribute to Christ. Now, if you're a Calvinist, a real dyed-in-the-wool Calvinist, that will upset you immediately. And yet, this is what the verse is suggesting. That it's the whole body that makes increase of the body. Amen. And it will do that only as there is an effectual working in the measure of every part of that body. I'm working back up the verse. It's a good way to do it sometimes. Read the Bible backwards. As long as you know what it says frontwards first, then you can start reading it backwards. That's right, and it's a tremendous thing for you to see. And this happens, it's by that which every joint supplies. And of course you know that joints supply mobility and action to a body. If you never had any joints, you'd just be a lump of uselessness. You'd be stuck in a place and everybody in the world would have to come and see you. You'd be the world's wonder. No joints, a jointless human being. Or jointless body, I'll put it into that category. You see? Wouldn't you? But I'm afraid that's what many churches are like. Of course, I've whispered that to you, but it's true. Now we're going higher up. It says that the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted. Why, this is a tremendous thing, isn't it? Now, of course, this can't happen unless you know the last two words in the verse. In love. That can't happen. That's the only way that my brother and I are closer than one over the years, because we love one another. As a matter of fact, we're in love with one another. We fell in love with one another. How many years ago was it now, brother? That's right, in a good, pure, clean, spiritual, holy and wonderful manner, as God intends. We loved one another nearly from the time, well, the time he got over his first fright. Well, at least that's what he's told me many times and told other people in my hearing. But this is the whole thing, you see. If people love one another, the closer they can be together, the better. the more compacted and joined. Oh, it's all so wonderful what God wants to do for us, you see. And it's the whole body that has to do this. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that's why we've come together, beloved, that in this atmosphere and in this place and in all the glory of the manifestation of the Spirit, which I'm certain I sort of feel it in my bones, that that's what's going to happen, that God is going to visit us, beloved. I could really skip and dance and praise the Lord. I know that could be a bit human because I've seen so many of your lovely faces that I haven't seen for a long time. And that always makes you happy. But praise the Lord. Think of it, beloved. We've got a whole week wherein God can come because we've come together. We believe by His Spirit for what God wants to do among us. And oh, what things He'll do, beloved. What things He'll share. What He'll reveal. What He'll speak. Who can tell? Where are the limits? You know, of course, because we've thought these things before, that it's in this epistle where you get this whole idea of limitlessness. You know, heights and depths and length and breadth, but doesn't say how high or how long or how broad or how deep. It just gives you direction, not dimension. Just height and depth and length and breadth. I feel I'm in it already. This is God, the measureless, wonderful God. There are no limits, beloved. None at all. And the Lord is among us to do precious things. Praise His name. The whole body has got to be in this. So remember that if you're sitting in the back row and you have your contribution to make, you'll have to speak up because there aren't any amplifiers that end. You'll have to minister the things that God has to give us. Stand up and lift up your head and don't mutter through your fingers. And let God speak to us in prayer or praise or prophecy or anything that God has for us. God wants us to be together and learn the ways of the Spirit of God. Because had we started in the verse above verse 11, we should have read this, that we're to speak the truth in love. Verse 15, grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So you're here to grow up too. So if you came a baby, don't go home one. In the Spirit. If you came here a child that's being blown about by this doctrine and that doctrine and something else you hear from somewhere else, He wants to teach you how to stand up and grow up into Him. Bless the name of the Lord, that you'll grow up and up. You've got to grow up into Him, not into yourself. You've got to grow up into Him, not a denomination or a doctrine or a gift or a ministry or anything or anyone but Him, that precious one. Hallelujah. Which means that everything that's going to go on in this conference this week has got to be tested by the four Gospels. As we have the revelation of what the true man is like on the earth and how he functioned and how he did it. And now that man is on the throne and glorified in all his wonderful fullness. It's just so that you and I can share in the glorious abundance of him. Father took him up there to pour forth his fullness upon men and women by giving the Holy Ghost through that glorious personality that had lived its life, his life out for those years on the earth, and then poured the Spirit through this one who brought everything to perfection of maturity in his life by latterly hanging on a cross and atoning for sin and overcoming the world and the flesh and the devil and anything else there is to overcome. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As it was said, as it is said unto us, so it was true of him, that he that overcometh shall inherit all things and shall be my son. That's right. This is the tremendous thing. And he overcame everything. Praise God. And he's there, beloved. Therefore, there are no objections. There are no obstacles. There are no obstructions. There are no excuses, because there are no reasons why every one of us here, and praise his name, why every one of us, are you listening now? That includes you. There is no reason why we should not excel under the measure of faith that we may have of him in this great fullness of love and grace and all that he wants us to be. Praise God. At least that's what I'm discovering as I go on. And you're not to be a child, you are to grow up into him. So you've got to go home a changed man and a changed woman. So have I. Praise him. Isn't it glorious, this outlook, that God will minister to us in these great things? And so you see, if you look at the end of verse 15, it says, Christ. And then verse 16 starts, from whom the whole body increaseth the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Not from a gift, not from a ministry, not from a stagnant pool, nor yet just from a flowing river, but by a flowing river, from him who sits at the head of the river, the glorious one, on the throne with the Father. It's all from him. From him to one another. Isn't this blessed, that we're to build up one another in love? Have a look round. You look at the person sitting beside you. And the one behind you. You've got to build him up. You've got to build her up. Don't you pull her down. And don't you stumble him. We're here to build one another up in love. Praise God. Now this I'll guarantee. You can all do that. You can all do that. We've all got a priceless gift for that. The gift for that, is it a word of wisdom and knowledge? Who knows? It's the gift of the Holy Ghost. He's come for that. The person himself. The Lord has given the Holy Ghost through the blessed final manifestation of love, the highest this earth has ever known, through that risen one, God the Father has poured forth the Holy Spirit to give us the gift for love. Amen. People sometimes say, isn't love a gift? I've been to places sometimes, and sometimes I've taken sort of a gift of the Spirit as a subject, often mostly because I'm asked to do that. And then nearly always somebody in the congregation comes up and says, but haven't you missed out the greatest gift? Love. Do you see? But it isn't in the list of the gifts. That's a basic state from which all the other gifts grow and gain their power and learn their use, and without which all the rest are nothing. But you've all been given the Holy Ghost, haven't you? If I said, put your hand up, those of you who know that they have been given the Holy Ghost from heaven. And then I said, now stand up, not only put your hand up, stand up if you're filled with the Holy Ghost from heaven. What would you do? And then if I said, well now stand on your chairs, all of you that are overflowing with the Holy Ghost. How many of you would be on your chair? But don't you know that's how he came? As the overflow and the bounty of God, when Christ was placed upon that highest throne, this coronation gift of the Holy Ghost came. The bounty of God. That's what he's come for. To shed this love of God abroad in your heart. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. And then to grow and grow up into him. It's always upward. It's always upward into him. And we are to minister in this great love of God. Be tender. Be patient. Be gentle when you're handling another member of the body of Christ. Be very careful. Be very carefree. And let the Lord have your heart and move in you with all his grace and all his fullness. From him the Holy Spirit has been given, and he's the Spirit of the body. He's the one that keeps me linked with the head so that directly, and isn't it wonderful, from the head I may minister to another person, another member of this glorious body of Jesus Christ. Isn't it sweet and wonderful that this can be so, beloved? None of us need come short in this realm whatsoever. None at all. Amen. You see, the people that happen to stand at the front this week, they're only here because they can't help it. That's right. I haven't talked with Brother Norman, but if he can help being here, he should go home. He shouldn't be here. That's right. Is that right, Norman? You go home if you can help being here. This is right. You see, he gives apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. He gives them to the body, not to be idolized or lionized, but so that all the body may be brought into its proper function and find its fullest release and rise to its greatest height and achieve the maximum growth. Amen. That the Lord may get every one of you into your function in this great body. No, no, not to get carried away by the idea of gift ministry, gift ministry, gift ministry. But to know, beloved, that your blessed and wonderful Lord, this God of the love of your heart, He's using you, and you're ministering to Him. It's to Him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It'll be His ears that will hear the word as well as His mouth that speaks it. He will not only give, but He will receive. From Him the body builds up His body. Isn't it a marvelous thing? Isn't it a marvelous thing? Praise God. He'll be in the midst tenderly, wonderfully, gloriously. Already the thrill of it fills me. What He's going to do, not because it's us, but because it's Him and it's His nature, and He can't help it in that sense. What man among you doesn't love and cherish his own body? Doesn't he nourish and cherish his own body? Didn't you all sit down to a good meal there before you came and sat there? That's right. This is the Lord. He ministers to us. Praise His marvelous name. He wants to grow up into Him. Now turn with me then, beloved, into 1 Corinthians. And chapter 12. Now concerning the spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say, and as some of you, if not all of you, will know that the Greek here is, no man can say, Jesus, Lord. A parrot can say, Jesus is the Lord, if you teach it long enough. We have enough of those parrots, too many of them. But no man can say, Jesus, Lord, unless it's true. And it can only be true by the Spirit. You can't say it unless the Spirit enables you to say it. And when you say it, you've got to say it in the sense of that wonderful word, though not necessarily in its setting and connection as we read it in Acts 2, 4. And they all began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. I say not necessarily in tongues at all, but it's the Spirit, and it's only the Spirit can give you utterance in these great truths of God. Any man can learn things and repeat them. I learned so many things from my mother's knee. I learned to pray there. I learned to sing, following her glorious voice. I learned to sing, but only the Spirit could make my whole being lift itself up to God, my blessed Jesus, Jesus, Lord. You can't say it, you daren't say it, unless you're 100% His. You can't do it. Amen. But once you can say that, you're really in the proper body relationship to the head. For Jesus is the head of the body. And now you're in the proper relationship. Jesus, Lord, glory. In other words, in the function of your gifts, your spirit isn't looking that way to somebody in the congregation that you think you've got a word for. It's looking that way. Jesus, Lord. And that'll take the cattiness out of you. Yeah. That'll take this sort of big swelled business that you think you've got something to say to brother so-and-so out of you. You know, when you're talking to me, you're talking to Jesus, you talk to a member of Jesus Christ. Be careful what you say to me. I'm not trying to frighten you. But be sure you build me up. Don't break me down. You be very sure. Jesus, Lord. Listen, some of us have had to come the hard way to learn this. You don't know anything that's written in the Bible till the Holy Ghost has taught you. Nothing. You're totally ignorant with the Bible open in your lap and been through all the schools in the world about it until the Holy Ghost has taught the very thing that's written. It's not only got to be inscribed in the Bible, it's got to be inscribed in your heart and written large in your life for everybody clearly to see. And then on we go, and it says this. Oh, I'd like to have a... I said I'd only speak a short time. I'm nearly sorry I said it. Oh, praise God. What a book we've got here, beloved. What a spirit is here. What a blessed revelation is in the book and in the heart and in the spirit. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What fullness I understand. I think I understand a little bit of what that great word in Hebrews 1 really is talking about when he says, it doesn't say this in any version that I know, but this is what the Greek is, that the blessed Lord Jesus, he's the effulgence of God's being. The effulgence. What's effulgence? I tell you what effulgence is in the natural world. I tell you what effulgence is. It's that which makes you take your coat off when you're in India. It's that which makes people of common sense not to try and land on the sun, only on the cold, cold moon. The effulgence of that heavenly body, that ever-shining face, that leaping flame there in the heavens, that ball of fire, the rays that penetrate through the atmosphere, the warmth that comes down, floods the world and makes everything light and bright and glorious. Effulgence! Amen. Amen. Come on! I want to see this effulgence. You look like the moon, not the sun. Where, oh, where has the sun gone? He's the head. Only the spirit can keep you in contact there. It's wonderful. Let's get back down here, shall we? It's only the Holy Ghost that can make your being utter in whatever tongue it is. And I advise you to learn to speak properly in your mother tongue. Amen. Like the Apostle Paul, he said, I'd rather speak in the church, I'd rather speak 5 words in my own language that by my understanding I may teach others also than 10,000 words in another tongue. That doesn't mean to say he didn't speak 10,000 words in another tongue. He's telling you what he'd rather do. Don't get mixed up. Don't get mixed up about it.
You see?
Don't put the edge on the wrong end of your axe, and this you'll cut yourself. You'll make it a battle axe if it's got two edges. The whole truth about it, beloved, is that God will make you utter gloriously, marvelously, because you're in touch with the living Him. Quickly down. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operation, the same God, which worketh all in all. God worketh, God operates, the Lord, verse 5, administrates, or really it's ministers, and it's the blessed Spirit that gives the diversity of the gifts. Now then, let's look at them, shall we? And let's learn something. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to mutual profit. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge. Now I want you to notice, keep your eye right down on your book now, it's important for you to get this. According to the same Spirit. What Spirit? The Spirit that gave the word of wisdom. That's right. Let's repeat this. For to one, now this is how God starts. Begins here. The word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith. By the same Spirit, this word is through. Through the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings through the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Don't stop there, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, that's the same Spirit, are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Praise the name of the Lord. And here, beloved, you have a record, a revelation of a properly functioning church. Here it is. This should take place in the church in which you gather to worship. Amen. Here it is. Instead of everybody starting off in tongues, you should start off with a word of wisdom. This is how it should start. Think back into the early church. They never had this book. They never had it. In churches today, it turns round, somebody, he's either an evangelist or a pastor or a teacher. We've done away with the apostles and the prophets. I don't know why, but we have. That's our loss. He's either an evangelist or he's a pastor and a teacher. At least. That's in the general setup. You see? And it all turns round him standing up and saying, our reading tonight is taken from so and so and so and so, and he preaches for a certain length of time. Some short, some long. You see, it all turned round that. But it didn't do in the early church. How did they start? Listen. The blessed, glorious head raised up a man to give a word of wisdom. According to that word of wisdom, knowledge started to function. Knowledge was spoken within that wisdom. All right. This is the way a church should function. We are miles off it, beloved, yet. God help us. God bring us back into the glory of it all. You see, the foundation of the church is the apostles. And in a certain sort of denominational background in which I never had the honor, perhaps, to move, but I know at least one in this room tonight that was in this that particular denomination. They always talk about the wisdom of the apostle. You see? There it is. The wisdom of the apostle. And sometimes a prophet used to travel around with him. This is right. The foundation is the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers. I'm going to ask you people, you Liverpool people, you Exeter people, you wherever, Walsall people, come on, you Stafford people, you wherever do you come from? Oh, Leinster people. Oh, I'm sorry if I've missed you out. I really intended to put you in the picture, so don't duck. I'm being absolutely earnest before God. I could never be more convinced of anything at this moment than I am convinced of this. Who's the man that gives the word of wisdom from which it all starts? Is it Charles Wesley? We'll sing hymn number so-and-so. That's how we start. I don't doubt that John Wesley was an apostle to England. I don't doubt that Charles Wesley was the prophet. And I don't doubt that George Whitefield was the evangelist in that great day. They were all three on the earth together. I don't doubt that. But you see, beloved, here it all is. And isn't God saying, there's the head, the word of wisdom, and according to the word that's spoken comes the knowledge. Where's it coming from? Whence hath this man letters, never having learned? They said it about your Lord. And so comes the word of knowledge. It's all applied. Then comes the function of the other gifts. Let's look at them. I more and more regret that I said I'd speak to you for a short time. It says, to another faith, through the same Spirit. Which Spirit? The Spirit that's manifesting in verse 7. The Spirit that's given the diversity of gifts in verse 4. The Spirit that's making you say, Jesus, Lord. Utter adoration, prostration of the entire being, wholly sanctified under God, filled with the love, abounding in the heart, flooding the consciousness through the gift of the person of the Holy Ghost to you. Faith coming. Faith, a sudden impartation of power from God to bring the thing that's spoken with certain knowledge into being. In the meaning. Isn't this Jesus all over again? Think of it. I might trace it for you or together with you sometime during this time ahead in the Gospels. Listen, have you got your heart open? Are you ready? Are you wanting all that God has to show you? Oh, when I think along this, my heart comes up clamoring. It comes cloying. It comes clinging. It comes wanting Jesus. Oh, I don't say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I don't have to. He knows. He's brought me into circulation in his being. He's brought me into life in his spirit. He knows I'm of him. He knows I'm from him. He knows I'm through him. He knows I'm unto him. Oh, beloved, this is what it is. Know your calling, for in that beginning of that fourth chapter of Ephesians, it starts off this way. You are to walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called. Amen. And so faith starts to operate, and it's tremendous. And then come the gifts, plural here, of healing. There are lots of needs for healing, different kinds of healings, emotional, physical, mental healing. Is that right? Here or anywhere. Isn't this a tremendous thing? But when faith has preceded healing, you see, as it does in the list, people can get healed. Do you see that? Where's the man that operates in the gift of faith, brother? Where is it? Glory be to God. Do you know, beloved, revival would sweep over England if we had this thing right? It would sweep over the world. Of this I'm utterly convinced. Oh, when we've got a really living Christ moving in the fullness of his undiminished powers, glorified now, this spread through a whole body of people doing the same glorious thing. What would happen? What would happen at Ripon? What would happen at Bradford? What would happen at Leicester? What would happen at King's Langley? What would happen in London? What would happen at Winchmore Hill? What would happen at Belmont Road? What would happen at Devonshire Road? What would happen at the Longcroft? Come on, beloved, start applying it to yourself. Start applying it. Have the temerity to apply it. So shall God move in this tremendous way that he wants to move. Let's go on to another, the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but all together, glory to God. My body's all together here. It is, you know. I didn't leave part of it down in Mevagissey. It's here, bless him. That's what he said. Where two or three are, now listen, gathered together in my name, there am I. He didn't say, now two members of my body. Now notice what he said. Now I didn't write the Bible. You'll hear me say this again and again. I'm very glad I didn't, because I get into trouble even if I preach it. And if I'd been responsible for writing it, I'd be in serious trouble. Where two or three are gathered together. He didn't say there are two or three members of my body. He said, there I am, all of me. Oh. Did you ever read the Bible before? There I am. He's here for them. All of him. Glory. He's not going to be limited by numbers. Nor he. His heart's too big for that. Calvary cost too much for that. The open veins and the stricken heart bore much more than a limited capacity for him to work. The ever-present Spirit has brought the ever-glorious Lord to us here. Amen. He's all here. He's all here. I believe He wants to do all he wants to do. Amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Isn't it a precious thing? This should function as God wants it to function. And are you willing for the Lord to let it function as it should function? I look out over you men. Some of you I've known for years. And some of you I've just seen. And I'm going to get to know you this week if you'll allow me to. Don't dodge. Let's get to know one another. Amen. Beloved, if we're really going to get to know one another, let me open my heart to you. Some of you men, what are you doing besides loving your wife and making a nice home for her and your children? What are you doing? We're here to build up the body. Glory be to God. Building up the body. Amen. If you knew, you'd leave everything for it. That's why Jesus Christ left glory for it. Everything. If your wife won't let her leave you, well, take her with you. If she's any... Well, you know what I mean. The whole glorious truth, beloved, is here. We're here to build up the body in love. All right. Gifts of the Spirit. I promise you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that as surely as you come to this place of total committal unto Him, as surely as you do, the Lord will give you enablings and gifts from Himself. The Holy Ghost has come for this. It doesn't matter who you are, or where you've come from, or what you've been. It's what He is. It's His boundless grace. And He will fit you for that which He expects of you. Amen. I can't write up on that wall. I'm not going to start writing wisdom, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, discerning spirits, prophecy, tongues, interpretation. Say, now then, choose which one you want. You can't do that. You can't do that. Choose Him. Choose Him. Get a vision of His radiant fullness. Don't get a vision of His wonderful works in the four Gospels. Don't get a vision of that. Get a vision of Him. Come into total love. Come into utter abandonment. Come into a place where God can do tremendous things through you. You see, we're not even really in a place to know what these gifts are. We think they are. We think we are sometimes. I'll give you a test. This is class work tonight. You may all call out, as long as you don't all bawl out together. If you really know, you make the answer. On the day of Pentecost, the Lord Jesus Christ took 120 odd bods and baptized them into one living body on the day of Pentecost. They became the true church. By the end of the day of Pentecost, there were 3,120. That wasn't too bad. Was it? Amen. You say, does that really happen? Well, I saw 10,000 respond in one meeting in India. I'm hoping that this dear man will be here and speak to you. Dear Brother Cherian, he's going to come from America, and we hope we're going to have him here preaching to us this week. Oh, praise God. Glory be to God. Yeah. They got dear Sister Jones here too, from India. Where are you? Stand up. Let's have a look at you. Amen. When we were up at Monmouth in that glorious orphanage there, where the Lord came, didn't he, sister? Oh, praise God. And I tell you what, I saw through this sham of so-called dancing in the spirit. You need to go to India to see this. You know, when the Holy Ghost fell in India, those women, they sort of, well, they seemed to float. Glory. They took a tambourine and they floated round, and I looked at them. But you see, now listen, that's their natural expression. But when the Westerners try to do it and call themselves gods in the spirit, they look like giraffes cavorting all over. Stop trying to be Eastern, saying, I'm dancing in the spirit. They don't try and be Western. That's right. You've got to remember that the Bible was written for all peoples. But they haven't all got to do the be alike and all got to do the same. Stop trying to be swept away by these queer ideas that are falsely voiced on us. That was their expression. Glory, it was as natural as anything. But if I'd have gotten up and tried to do it, they'd have thought I'd got an elephant in the room. And that's what I think about a lot of the other that people take called dancing in the spirit in England. That's what I think. You may not want to think the way I think, but you need to go out there and see. See, in England, it may be the natural expression to say, glory to God! That's all right. That's just like dancing in the spirit to the Indians. Don't you understand? Do you understand? God grant us understanding. That's how the man started off. He says, I give you to understand. That was the first apostolic gift to you when he wanted to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 and 2. I give you to understand. God grant us understanding. Amen. Bless the name of the Lord. Well, anyway, let's go on. This man, he was an Easterner, you see. In the third chapter, he was lying at the beautiful gate of the temple. For him, it wasn't a beautiful gate. It was the gate where he lay and begged for his daily living. And you know, I'm sure we all see this, that Jesus had often passed him by and not healed him. He'd laid there. I mean, he was laying from his mother's womb. He used to be laid daily at the beautiful gate of the temple, but Jesus hadn't healed him. He left him for Peter to heal him, you see. And Peter came with John, and they went up at the hour of prayer into the temple and looked at him. He looked at them, and he asked for an alms. And old Peter said, look on us. He didn't say, now don't look at us, look at Jesus. That's the favorite expression. No, don't look at man, look at Jesus. But they didn't say that. They said, look on us. Again, I'm glad I didn't write the Bible. I'm only telling you what it says. Look on us, they said. And they did. He did. He looked on them. And Peter, and now here's the point. You must listen very carefully here. Peter said, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I thee. Perhaps you wouldn't have anything to give if you never had any money. I don't know. Would you? I mean, if you hadn't got a car to give away, you'd give that away, wouldn't you? Would you? Really? Would you give your house away? Oh, well, if the Lord told me. Have you ever read Acts chapter 2? Read it carefully. It doesn't say anything about the Lord telling them to do anything, they just did it. They sort of knew. There was a spirit that was compatible with their experience, and they never dodged it. The whole thing was, he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And you know all the thing, don't you? They went leaping, dancing. See, he was an Easterner. Leaping, dancing, jumping, shouting into the temple. Glory to God. And if anybody says that's the way you should come to your church every Sunday morning, you don't want to worry about it. Say, you don't want to let anybody see. Praise God. But come eagerly, though, to worship God. And everybody gathered round. They didn't like that. They wanted a nice quiet service where the incense could be swung and the candles could be lit and the psalms could be sung and the nice, decent processional order could go on. That's right. It's absolutely right. Where the Bible could be read and so on. They didn't want anybody jumping about. That was all wrong. So they thought, but they all came up, and old Peter said to them, well, but before I tell you this, I'll ask you a question. Here's the question now. What gift did Peter have? What was the gift? Thank you, the Holy Ghost, all right, any other answers? What was the gift that operated that day through Peter? Faith. That's right. Most people say it's healing or miracles. Wasn't? Listen to him. He said, why gaze ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of our fathers, you see, has raised up his son Jesus, has glorified his son Jesus. See? And the faith which is by him hath made this man whole. Yea, through faith in his name. It was the gift of faith. That's better than miracles and healing. See? You see, here then is the tremendous thing, beloved. How many people do you know have the gift of faith? Now, beloved, hallelujah. This body's got to be built up. It's got to happen. You and I have to be related to him in such a way. Let me ask you, beloved, what is your heart's disposition to Jesus now? What is it? Is it Lord? I don't mean in a sort of a semi-swooning attitude, but in the great wonder of your being, living in the Spirit of God. Jesus, Lord. I believe that God wants us to come into this tremendous thing with him. I believe he wants to move into it, beloved. I don't see why we should wait till about next Wednesday. I believe that we should be here with the Lord now for him to minister to us. We're to hear here that the body should build up the body in love. Amen. And he wants to do things among us. Come on, let's love him. you rightly related to your head. I'm not trying to suggest you're not, I'm just asking you. Everything pours down from the head. Amen. It isn't anything resident in you any more than your blood is resident in your finger. It's resident in the whole of your body, your blood. Yes, that's right. Yes, it's circulating. Ministry. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless God. And that's right. You never saw a head holding a body. It's always the body that holds the head. Go on, hold the head. Hold the head. Glory. Glory. Somebody said to a drunken king, I want John Baptist's head on a charger. So he sent and had him executed, and his head doubtless was put on a silver dish and given to a dancing girl. And his disciples came and took up the corpse and buried it. But in the new covenant, there isn't a head and a corpse. The head separate from the body is as dead as the body. All right? There are lots of people who have this head and corpse idea. They know that Jesus Christ is the head, but the body's a corpse. It's been severed. Now then, beloved, hold the head. Don't get cut off from your head, unless you'll be a corpse. Hallelujah. The head and the body together is life. Glorious life. Fullness of life. Fullness of glory. The head in glory ensures that the body on earth is in glory. And that there's glory in the body. Amen. By the Spirit. Oh God. Hallelujah. You will yield yourself to Him.